and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Yeah.
Brought to you by the WBO, the World Boxing Organization.
How about that?
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
Let's get him. Let's get him hard.
Pedro Fernandez.
Better grab me quick before my knees give way.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 35, make that 36 plus years now of being often imitated but never duplicated. Welcome to Ring Talk. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I'm your host. I'm also an award-winning writer. Four-time Golden Glove champion. Was lucky enough to finish 13th in 1984. God, I'm showing my age as a junior welterweight in this country. Straight up, you are tuned to the longest-running combat sports show in history. And, of course, we're going to talk boxing and MMA for the next hour or so here live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 211, the Dan Patrick Channel, SB Nation Sports, and like a thousand other internet platforms. Straight up, we're coming to you live from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Open phone lines all around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's toll-free. 1-800-878-7529. Or get this, the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. Don't have to bug Cuddy, and you can come straight to me. 415-275-1613. The studio text line, once again, 415-275-1613. We'll be joined by boxing's only PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer Jr. after the break. We'll also talk about the fact that we've had a couple of fights this week. That's right, 2016 Olympic silver medalist, double S, Shakur Stevenson in action, and he smoked somebody like a blunt in about six rounds straight up. We'll talk about double S and a whole lot more today on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Once again, the studio text line, no guilt, no commitment. Text us. 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Cut man, take it away.
I'm just so scared and lonely all at the same time.
Decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Outside call on line nine.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Even though Emmanuel Stewart, the late Kronk Jim Goldfather, was like a father to me, when Tommy Hearns and Roberto Duran fought, I was hoping Duran could pull off the upset. You know, I had been with Duran 6 weeks earlier. Although it wasn't Thanksgiving, he looked like a stuffed turkey. I kid you not. We're in Oakland, California, and I'm getting ready to leave for the Olympic training camp. I'm all freaked out about that. And I go see Duran and Hearns at this press conference, and Duran looks like, well, as I said, he looks like a turkey stuffed the day before Thanksgiving. So obviously Roberto Duran was pudgy. Still, I was motivated by that, the fact that Duran was going to basically fight a bigger guy, and Tommy Hearns was a much bigger man. I looked at these two guys at the weigh-in, and I said to myself, well, I've beaten bigger guys in my time, so maybe Duran could beat a bigger guy in his time, because he's a lot better than me. Anyway, I'm off to Colorado where I would lose a decision in the number 9th ranked Vincent Webb of East St. Louis. And if you've ever been to East St. Louis, you probably don't want to go back. Anyway, thus the dream of mine make it to the Olympics was over. You know, bottom line is May 1984. It's all, you know, it's history. So I descend upon Las Vegas with the same, how can I put this? not the same intensity I had for Ollie Holmes, but pretty close to it. As Roberto Duran, of course, is a legend, a hero. I think he's the greatest boxer to ever lace a pair of boxing gloves. I can go on and on and on with all the accolades. Of course, I'm not talking about anything outside of boxing. I mean, he has his shortcomings personally, but not as a boxer. He just was an amazing, amazing athlete to me. From 122 pounds, he was ranked at one point in time to our house historian, Bill O, at featherweight, 126 pounds. Of course, he captured the lightweight championship in 1972. But this is 1984. This is 12 years later. So Duran's about to get in the ring with Tommy Hearns, and I see Sugar Ray Robinson, the great Sugar Ray Robinson. He and I had talked before the fight, and I had interviewed him. I guess it wasn't an interview. I sat down with him, and he was wearing, like, pink shower cap. He had a pink shower cap. His whole thing was pink. I mean, he had a pink Cadillac at one point in time in the 50s and 60s. Anyway, but he had a pink bathrobe and a pink shower cap on because, you know, he had a process, had that hair right, man. So anyway, Sugar Ray Robinson was sitting there, and he's telling me, you know, about Duran and this and that. We're going back and forth. So the night we go to the fights, and Duran gets knocked out brutally in two rounds. I mean, like, it was one of the most brutal knockouts I've ever seen in my life. And since I was on the ring that night, in fact, you look at some of the tapes, some people see me, what were you doing up there? Me and Hector were right on the ring that night. Of course, Hector being Roberto Duran's co-manager, but not at the time. Anyway, we were on the ring, and bottom line was, bam, I mean, you could just see it. I mean, Duran, when he got knocked by this right down, he was going, You ever have to take a dump really bad, really hard, and push really, really hard, and you're wondering, you know, that kind of stuff. That's what Duran was trying to do to get up. So anyway, he gets up, barely, like 10 minutes later. Anyway, yeah, he's knocked out. Tommy, clean knockout, round two, no doubt about it, the fight's over. So we go back to the hotel, and, you know, I'm a little bummed out. Not like I was in tears, like after the Ollie Holmes fight. I mean, I was in bad shape emotionally for that one. But after the results of that one. But this was 4 years later, so I've matured a little bit, I think. Anyway, so I deal with it, and I go back to the hotel. So the next morning, I see Sugar Ray Robinson, because we're both staying at the Aladdin Hotel across from each other. I think it was on the fourth floor of the old hotel. Anyway, we're staying on the same floor across from each other, and him and his wife, Millie, invited me in, and this was June the, I guess, the 16th, because I think the fight was the 15th or something like that. Anyway, they invite me in, and he's sitting down, he's having breakfast, and he's talking. He's explaining to me that, you know, he's trying to tell me that what happened. I said, well, you know, I was a little bummed out. I said, I didn't expect Duran to win, because, you know, usually the smaller guy doesn't win when he especially tangles with a tall puncher. He said, yeah, but, you know, Duran was moving up in weight, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, he left me with the feeling, his assertion, that Duran was a greater fighter than Tommy Hearns. He says, watch, in the end, he goes, when the annals, when everybody looks back at history and boxing, people will regard Duran as a far greater fighter than they would Tommy Hearns. Now, I wouldn't say far greater, but he has to be considered a greater fighter. Dig this. He beat the guy that beat Tommy Hearns. That's right. Iran Barkley beat Hearns not once but twice. Knocked him out once in three rounds in 1988, and of course beat him later in a rematch at 175 pounds. Of course, he would lose the WBC 160 pound to Roberto Duran in February of 1989, ending Iran Barkley's run. Bottom line is, Duran doesn't get the credit he deserves, and I think at the end of the day, neither does Iran Barkley. Poverty stricken, running the Bronx, people tell me, with a nickel in his pocket, maybe a dime here and there. Last time I saw him was a couple years ago. He's got to be nearly as old as I am, and he was asking me to get him a fight. I kid you not. So at the end of the day, boxing's got its pluses, boxing's got its negatives, but boxing also has its heroes. And heroes are built on the backs of guys that lose. Iran Barkley lost. Iran Barkley lost. Right now, Barkley's poor and in poverty in the streets of New York City. Hopefully, somebody will see the light here and help good old Iran out. Now, we go from me moaning and groaning to the boxer's only PhD, of course, coming to us from the Bronx himself. What's up with Iran, Mr. Socrates Palmer?
How's it going, Pedro?
Pretty good. Is Iran, is he still like the first guy at every free buffet in town?
He's pretty well known for that. You know, New York, as far as prominent ex-champions that are still around and still somewhat coherent, Iran's one of the few, you know, left. And he's still revered amongst his peers. And most banquets that you see, awards, and I think there's an organization called the Ring 8. Mm-hmm. They do a meeting / buffet every once in a while. You'll see him. I know he's been there before. Iran, I mean, I don't other than just being cordial, I don't want to speak ill of him. I don't consider him a friend, but you know, if we see each other, I think he does recognize me. I've heard people tell me that they've tried to help him get, you know, jobs and things like that, and I guess it's not easy, you know, to go punch in a 9-to-5 job when you're not used to it, you know. So I think
you've never done it.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people in boxing that have influence, that have companies that, you know, they just say, hey, I ran, you know, stand behind this booth and make sure people sign in and out, you know, a little security job. And at least it's a steady bread. But that's not for everybody.
Yeah, you know, the greatest line I ever heard from Myron Barkley, he was holding his head together after the first Tommy Hearns fight. Of course, he had knocked Tommy out in the third round. And in that, before he knocked Tommy out with that right hand, you heard him screaming. Oh! I mean, he was getting hit to the body. He was moaning. I ain't kind of kidding you. He was groaning. You could hear him. I was in like the fourth or fifth row going, holy cow, you got to be kidding me. This guy's getting cracked to the body. And of course, he comes up with that mean right hand. Of course, that ends the fight. Tommy Hearns gets knocked out. Hearns loser for the second time after losing to Leonard in 1981. But Iran Barkley meets me at the press conference, and I walk up to him and I said, Mr. Barkley, or my name is Pedro. I'm from Flash Magazine. He goes, although my name is Iran, I never did. Ooh.
Ooh. Pretty cold.
Ooh.
Yeah,
cold
line. Yeah.
Wait. Yeah, I was a 25-year-old kid responding, what? I mean, how do you respond to that, Sock? How do you respond to, although my name is Iran, I never did, and he never did?
I mean, hey, the Bronx is the home of hip-hop, and that's one of the coldest lines you're ever going to hear. So, and it came from a Bronxite. That's pretty cool. They should put that, you know, when it's his time to go, that should be on his headstone.
You know, in all fairness to him, he's always been a nice guy, and he's always been sort of fun to be around and this and that. And he gives a lot of accolades to Duran, and he explains to Duran, the Leonard, the Hagler, all that, you know, he explains the mystique of all those different guys and this and that. And, you know, I know that both Davey Moore told me that he was as surprised as he had ever been in his entire life when Roberto Duran hit him with that right hand in the second round. Of course, that started the end of Davey Moore. Iran Barkley told me he had never been, he was shocked, absolutely shocked that Roberto Duran beat him. He couldn't believe it. It was happening to him, but he couldn't believe it.
That is amazing. The fact that Roberto at 36, I believe he was at that fight, and just the tail of the tape alone. You know, if even to the untrained eye, if you just stand these two people up, you know, side by side, and you ask Joe Schmo, who's going to win this fist fight? you know, it's just amazing. I mean, Iran, who's about a legit six foot. A legit middleweight and a mean guy with skills against a man that we all thought was way past his prime, that, you know, had the little comeback on USA, you know, fighting the bum every other month, and his name got him to the big dance in Atlantic City. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that was Michael Buffer's first big fight. I've always heard him say in interviews that was his first big fight.
No, I think that was a fight where the microphone went out on him. Bottom line is, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More with Boxing's PhD Socrates Palmer after the break. You are tuned to the Mighty Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Little Motown, baby!
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Everyone said, I wish I was in your shoe. The people, the hundreds of people that wish they were in my shoe don't know the That's tenth right. of it. If they were in my shoe, they would cry like babies.
That's a sobering thought. My national anthem, per se, "He's a Rebel." That's what my mother said. He's a rebel. You know, but check this out. I was the only non-white member of an all-Lutheran church in 1961. People used to look at me like I was like a trophy or something like that. What the hell? What's he doing there? I kid you. I didn't know anything about racism or prejudice. I had no idea what was going on. None whatsoever. I just thought people liked to look at me. I did not know. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, on the line for the Bronx, boxing's only PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And Sock, what's on your mind this morning, sir?
Glad we got to see some boxing this week. Although it was more like a top-ranked infomercial, you know, these two shows. But, hey, you know, it was live fights, and I was grateful for it. Shakur Stevenson back in the ring, doing what he was expected to do against a limited, although tough, fighter. He looked really good. You know, he seemed to be filling out his body. He looked at 130 pounds. So it's going to be interesting to see what's next in terms of when he's going to really step up and fight, get into a fight that we feel that he's got a chance to lose. You know, I'm interested in that. Then there was also the Italian fellow, the heavyweight. He moved to 7-0. He's trained by Kevin Barry.
You don't want me to start laughing, do you? I mean, right? Keep going. I'm sorry.
You start laughing? Go ahead.
No. Keep going.
Okay. It's good to see boxing have. Getting back into fruition, they had a great platform with ESPN. They showed the entire card, which is a good thing. I'm interested to see what the ratings are, and it seems like that's what they're going to be doing throughout the summer, two shows a week.
You didn't think Shakur Stevenson looked a little chubby in the cheeks?
He's got. I mean that. Maybe that's just his face type. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know you've always said that when guys have a fat face, it's like they did the weight, you know, in the sauna and not really doing some road work like they should be doing. But I think he always kind of has like that round face, you know. I think his bone structure, his cheekbones or whatnot. But what I liked about him that he was putting his punches together, you know, when he won the air quotes title, you know, it was such a boring fight against his ex brother-in-law. You know, he wasn't willing to engage, and this is good. You know, I think if he fights this type of style in the future, he's going to create a fan base. You know, not just because of the ESPN Tom Brack machine, but just because he's an entertaining fighter to watch. I was very happy with what I saw of him.
2016 Olympic gold medalist, but you know. Back to the heavyweight picture. As far as the United States is concerned, are there any heavyweights on the horizon? Are there any heavyweights because Deontay Wilder, he's just looking to cash out with this Tyson Fury thing. When Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua sign this two-fight deal, whatever they're going to do, I mean, I think that Mr. Wilder is basically just going to get paid to go away. And that being the case. And let's eliminate him from the American heavyweight picture. Is there anybody else out there as far as a Yankee heavyweight I can look to?
A Yankee heavyweight. Well, do you really want to take Big Baby Miller seriously? Andy Ruiz he's technically American. He is American.
Oh.
You know, the Mexican descent. No one jumps out on me. If I have to think about it, then I guess.
I was going to call you on that because it took you about a second to answer that one. I was going to call you on that one, but I just let it go. When you got to bring up Andy Ruiz as far as being a top American heavyweight, it's a sad case for the world of boxing, no doubt about that. But let's go back to where it really counts, 130, 135 pounds. Of course, Shakur Stevenson saying his true weight is at 130. We'll let him stay at 130, but really let him move up to 135 because that's where we want to see the round-robin stuff go. We want these Gervonta Davis, Ryan Garcia, the internet champion, Mr. Haney. Who's the one that named him the internet champion?
Teofimo Lopez.
Teofimo Lopez, exactly. I'm just skipping my mind. Vasyl Lomachenko. This is where, listen, they could do enough with the lightweight division to keep me happy for like 4 or 5 years as far as these fights are concerned. Seriously, forget the rest. Let's abolish the rest of boxing. Let's just keep the lightweight division going, and I could be happy because, you know what? I'll tell you, Sock, none of the other names really jump out at me. And Mr. Lopez, of course, he's going to take on Vasyl Lomachenko. He's a 4-1 underdog in the minds of a lot of people, but not in my mind because I think he's a live underdog. And getting whether he's 4-1 or 2-1, being a live underdog at 4-1 just means I'm going to make double the bank if he wins at 4-1 and I win at 2-1. Now, rarely, I want to say this, rarely do underdogs win, but I'm telling you, I smell an upset.
Hey, in boxing, it's when you catch a fighter, you know, and Lomachenko has shown vulnerability. He's, you know, he was dropped by
Linares.
By Linares, thank you. And if he, the question is, if he gets dropped by a puncher like Lopez, is he going to be able to recover? And Lopez, my biggest concern that it's like a Fernando Vargas situation that, you know, that he, a little too much too soon. And but I don't think Lomachenko could ruin him like the way Trinidad did to Vargas. You know, Lomachenko could school him, probably win all 12 rounds fighting very cautiously. But there's bad blood and Lomachenko wants to shut him up. And maybe he lets his emotion get to him and accommodates Lopez. And it's a great fight. In my world, it's the fight that I'm anticipating the most, even more so than the heavyweight trilogy that we see coming up with Tyson Fury. And another name that we haven't mentioned, Gary Russell is still there.
Oh boy,
Gary Russell. I would love to see Gary Russell and Shakur Stevenson. To me, it has a natural storyline. Former Olympians, Southpaws. It's to me, Gary Russell is still out there. But it all depends if PBC is willing to put him out there.
What are they? I mean, the promoters are going to have to do business with one another. I mean, they just have to. I mean, it just seemed. I mean, they can't. People are going to get tired of watching these hobos not fight. I mean, you know, these guys fight hobos.
Absolutely. You can't, especially when you're technically you have the spotlight all to yourself. You know, I mean, there's not much else going on, and okay, fine. ESPN put up basically an enhancement show for the top ranked fighters. That's cool, but eventually, you do want to see competitive fights and big time fights. You know, the public attention span is a lot shorter than it was, you know, years ago, and you need to keep that attention span going. There's no reason why it shouldn't happen. There's a lot of good fights that can be made and a lot of money to be made.
Back to Lopez and Lomachenko. The experts and the so-called experts are saying he's a 4-1, 4.5-1 underdog. 4.5-1? Jesus, you know, that seems a little bit long. But then again, like Larry Merchant told me, it doesn't matter if it was 2-1 or 100-1. If he's going to lose, he's going to lose. If he's going to win, he's going to win. But at the end of the day, that's the fight everybody's talking about, I think. I don't think anybody's talking about Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury. People in the boxing game, young people in the boxing game, are talking about this battle between Lomachenko, of course, the once-beaten fighter, two-time world champion as far as an amateur is concerned. I think he's got an incredible, impeccable amateur record. And, of course, once-beaten as a pro. But he's taking on a kid, I think, has got an attitude and the ability to outbox him and then, of course, outpunch him, I think. So we'll see what happens. Is there any date on when Aram's going to reschedule this? Are they talking about it at all?
I haven't heard anything concrete. I know that they want to make this fight when they can have fans in the audience, you know, but who knows, you know, when that's going to happen. And, of course, I guess it depends the state that they have it. Or maybe they don't even have – maybe they even – have to make the fight outside of the U.S. Who knows?
No, in order for a major fight to happen, and let's be honest, there has to be a vaccine, because none of us are going to want to go to a major fight with 15,000 people in the arena, maybe even 1,000, maybe even more than 100. I wouldn't want to go anywhere with a lot of people unprotected as far as this virus is running around concerned. This is death to a lot of people, and some people are taking it real lightly. I'm not one of them. Anyway, the best to you. The best to your family.
Thanks.
Say hello to your lovely
Thanks.
Wife. And that agent of yours, tell her I'll return her call this week.
I appreciate that. Yeah, she gets a little feisty. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The great Socrates Palmer on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right. The World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Ma'am, that's a groove.
Jerry Cortez on the guitar. This is the new Tower of Power, I should say the Tower of Power, 21st Century Style, 2020. They're rocking and rolling with the Soul Side of Town, one of their recent LPs, albums, records, call them what you want. I don't know, it's like Lenny told us a few weeks ago, Lenny Williams, of course, when he was on the show, he said, they don't really sell records anymore. That's sort of weird. It's like, yeah, you sort of sell digital presence. Anyway, the bottom line is you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, not Music Talk Worldwide. The USC rocking and rolling, of course, last week, Amanda Nunes defended the featherweight championship. She's also the bantamweight champion, 135 and 145-pound champion. She'll never see 135 again in her entire life, I kid you not, because when she started this fight out, she looked like Roberto Duran about 6 weeks before the aforementioned Roberto Duran, 6 weeks before Tommy Hearns. In other words, stuffed like a turkey the day before Thanksgiving. Of course, but she knocked off the weight. She had to bring it down to 145. She made 145. Felisa Spencer, of course, a once-beaten fighter, having lost a three-round decision to Chris Cyborg Santos previously. She was a good girl. I mean, relatively durable. As I said, once beaten, she came to fight, but she was no match for Nunes. Nunes run going away 50-44 on a couple of the scorecards, and 50-45, meaning at least a shutout. 50-45 means 5-0 as far as rounds were concerned. 50-44 means 5 rounds to zip plus one other round being dominant. I think that was the first round, 50-44. Straight up, she was a good, you gotta put this, it was a good performance from Ms. Nunes, but then again, I'm not all that impressed with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, after 5 rounds, we go to the judges' scorecards for decision. The judges score the contest 50-44, 50-44, and 50-45 for the winner by unanimous decision, and still the undisputed UFC featherweight champion of the world, Amanda the Lioness Nunes.
Congratulations, Amanda, on another unbelievable performance. I can't find a single thing you did that was a mistake. It was a flawless performance over 5 rounds. The only thing that was stunning in this fight at all was Felicia Spencer's toughness and her ability to absorb all those shots. Were you surprised at any point in time that the referee didn't stop the fight?
I'm not surprised. I know she's very tough. I say my whole interview this weekend. I know what she's capable of. I studied her very well. I know she's tough. And I have to be sharp. If I have to go 5 rounds, I have to be dominated, sharp as a cactus.
You were sharp as a cactus and more. You were on point with everything tonight, with your takedowns, your ground and pound. You almost submitted her at the end of the round. I mean, it was just a flawless performance. What at this point in time, you've essentially cleaned out both the bantamweight and the featherweight divisions.
You know, what? Joe,
No, please, what do you do from here?
You know, I don't know. You know, like, that was my goal, defending my 2 belts. The same time, you know, like, I'm, like, defending both belts. I'm in the grades, you know. I'm, like, I'm so happy right now. I don't know what is next, but I proved already, you know. Tonight, I closed a cycle, and I'm very proud of myself, of my team. Like, how they are very smart, working with me, make me grow every day, and approve it tonight, you know? I'm very happy. And also, I have a fit corner today, you know? I have my daughter with me, and that was great. Every time that I when she connects the first punch on me, Joe, I know she never would knock me out. That's why, like, sometimes I was with my hand low, walk through, because I know she's not going to handle that much. But she did, she handled, but I know she's not going to be able to survive anytime soon.
Well, Amanda, you made history tonight because you are one of many in our DC, of course, Henry Cejudo and Conor McGregor, people that won titles in two weight classes, but no one has ever defended the title in both weight classes. So you have made history tonight in this spectacular victory. I'm glad you're happy, but my only concern is who is next for you?
I want to answer to, you know, I'm going to go back home. Later, I'm going to call Dan White, you know, we're going to have a talk, see my next step, you know. And, like, man, like, tonight, I can't wait to, like, call my mother right now in Brazil. I can't wait to celebrate that. I can't think anything else, Joe, right now. I'm sorry.
Oh, please, enjoy it. It was an honor to call your fight. A truly spectacular performance. There is no doubt you are the greatest female fighter of all time. Enjoy that. Thank you very much for an amazing
night.
And,
Joe, let me say something, like, this fight was, I want to go to five rounds, you know. I know if I have time, I would finish her. But important for me go to five rounds because I'm tired of here. Like, Amanda cannot go to five rounds. I'm stop that, everybody. Like, now you see, many times now, it's done, you know. Tonight, I went to five rounds with the most tough girl in the division. You know, Felicia Spence is tough. I never fight nobody tough like her, you know. And I fight tonight, I went five rounds, and I'm not tired. I mean, he talked to everybody. I would go one more.
It looked like you could go 10 five-minute rounds. It was fantastic. It was amazing. Congratulations on a truly spectacular performance. Again, it was an honor to call your fight, as it always is. The greatest of all time,
and
Amanda Nunes.
One thing, everybody, only depend on us to change this world, you know. Let's get together and make this planet a better place soon. Let's do this. I know we can.
Sounds good. Thank you, champ.
Thank you, Joe.
Amanda Nunes and Joe Rogan. Of course, Joe Rogan just signs like a $100 million contract with some, well, I mean, he's just Spotfly, I think it was, but more power to Joe. I remember when Joe was just like a, just an average guy doing stand-up comedy. Of course, made his mark with the UFC as far as the announcer is concerned, but he's done his thing, YouTube. He was having all kinds of millions of hits on YouTube, and now I think he's with Spotfly, going to make himself a fistful of money. More power to Joe. Cody Garbrandt was the winner, of course. Cody, the former world bantamweight champion, got knocked out by a guy that was, you know, listen, anytime performance-enhancing drugs are involved, and we talked about this so many times before, but anytime performance-enhancing drugs are involved, you just got to say, you know, was that fight for real? I mean, you just have to look at it that way. And, of course, Cody Garbrandt got knocked out like once, but twice by T.J. Dillashaw. And Dillashaw was on the juice. There was absolutely no doubt about it. So should those losses even count? Should those be should all of Dillashaw's wins should be removed from people's records or the resumes? Anyway, the bottom line is T.J. Dillashaw beat Cody Garbrandt not once but twice. And Garbrandt was the winner, knocking out Rafael Assaneo. Of course, that was a KO punch in the second round, 4:59, and almost at the end of the round. Bottom line is Cody can punch, but he can't take a punch. Anytime he's been beaten, it's been by a knockout. Aleman Sterling was winner. Not too impressed with that. The one impressed guy on the card that did impress me, though, was Sean O'Malley. He's a guy that sort of got an attitude, sort of a goth guy. He's got these weird tattoos. His hair is green and red and all kinds of different colors. I kid you not, I mean, one of the freakiest looking guys you'll ever see in your life, but he can fight. I mean, he took out Sean O'Malley, got bang, 154 into the round, first round, just knocked him out with one of the sickest knockouts you'll ever see in MMA history. Bottom line is, he looks like a guy that can fight. We'll see what happens. That is at 135 pounds, of course. The Bantamweight Championship at 135 pounds. I'm not too big at 135 pounds. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Of course, they've got Jose Aldo, the iconic fighter fighting for the title. I mean, come on, man. The guy's older than Scott Cuddy and me put together. What's he doing fighting for the title? Anyway, Neil Magny was the winner last week. As I said, Sean O'Malley's the winner. Outside of that, no other names on the card because that's what the UFC is all about today. No names. Of course, we move on to the following week. Take it back. It's going to rock and roll tonight. Jess Guy. Who can rock? She can fight. It's going to be a catchweight fight, 126 and a quarter. I guess somebody to make weight at 125. But the bottom line is they're going to fight at 126 and a quarter. Jess Guy and Sylvia Cavallo, of course, going to rock and roll this five-round main event. Co-feature is going to be Carl Robertson hooking it up at 190 pounds with Marvin Vinton. Are these household names? No. Charles Rosa versus Kevin Aguilar, Andre Fiji versus Charles Jourdain. Are you getting any household names yet? There are no household names. In other words, the USC doesn't know how to build stars because of the fact they put these guys in death match after death match. In other words, you know, I mean, nobody gets an easy fight. And somebody says, well, shouldn't that be the way it is, man? No! You have to give guys and girls easy fights here and there in order to prepare them for the big fight. That's the way you do things. You don't put them in death match after death match after death match because you know for certainty that sooner or later they're going to fail. And that's what the UFC banks on. And that's why the UFC can't really build any super mega stars outside of John Jones, of course, who's defended that light heavyweight title a record number of times. He's one of the guys. I think he gets $5 million a fight. Khabib supposedly has a special contract, the lightweight champion. Conor McGregor had a contract where he was taking like a good portion of the money. And now, of course, he's out. So he's retired. John Jones is retired. And, of course, now Jorge Masvidal is threatening to retire. Of course, Masvidal, the winner over Nate Diaz, Masvidal's like a street fighter. He's had like 35 fights, I think. Just an incredible amount of fights. Of course, started in the YouTube days with Kimbo Slice. He was fighting. I kid you not. I kid you. He was fighting on YouTube with the Kimbo Slice in the backyard fights. That was like 15, 20 years ago. And that's, of course, he's graduated. He's moved his way up. He is now with the UFC. He beat Nate Diaz. He wanted to do a rematch with Nate Diaz because he said nobody else wants to fight him. But the bottom line is Masvidal is talking about the money issue. And I've been bringing this up for a long time now. He says it's 18%. And the fact that Dana White was willing to agree with him, that the fighters are now taking in 18% instead of the 8-12% that once was the record. I mean, that was it. I mean, they were getting the most the USC was spending at one point in time a couple of years ago, according to a lawsuit, was 12% as far as payroll is concerned. So if you've got, think about this, if you've got something where you make a whole dollar and you only got to pay 12 cents to the workers, I mean, think about that. And they're independent contractors who have to give them health plans, any health conditions, medical plans, none of that kind of stuff, pensions, don't have to forget about that, okay? So you're giving them, now what, 12%, now it's 18%? 18 cents on the dollar? I don't think so. I think the NFL is up to like 45 or 50 cents on the dollar. NBA is up there as well. In other words, the players are making some money. In the UFC, I've been telling you for years, they be getting pimped off. Of course, UFC rock and roll tonight from the UFC Apex Center. That's going to be in Las Vegas. Next week, Curtis Blaydes is going to be in a main event, of course, on ESPN. These are all on ESPN. UFC on ESPN. Dustin Poirier is going to go June the 27th. Of course, that's the last fight at this UFC Apex. Now, this UFC fight card, is going to take place, they're telling me, in Dubai. So Dana White's going to live this, and this is the greatest news of all time. This is the greatest. Scott Cuddy should be rolling over right now. Dana White is going to go live on this fight island in Dubai. And he's not going to grace us with his presence here in the United States for the longest period of time. This is the best news. I mean, holy cow. It could get no better. It could get no better. Get rid of the creep. Listen, people say to me, oh, you're just down on Dana. You're jealous of Dana. Jealous of what? What would I be jealous of? The fact he's got his own jet and money? You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't trade it, considering his health. And being him, I wouldn't trade places with Dana White for $1 million, not even for a zillion bucks. At the end of the day, he's still Dana White. As I said, as far as being on this fight island is concerned, right on. It couldn't be no better because it looks like you're going to go with cards July the 11th, July 15th, July 18th, July 25th. And no, they're coming back to the USA, Las Vegas on August the 1st. But the bottom line is USC Fight Night. I'll run the Dubai schedule down to you. Usman is going to defend the 175-pound championship, 185-pound championship, the middleweight championship, where he's defending against a bad dude. There's no doubt about it. I'm talking about Gilbert Burns. Of course, Burns was a winner just a couple of weeks ago, taking Tyron Woodley to the woodshed for 5 rounds. No doubt about that. Just cleaned his clock. Now, Burns a live underdog here. Or is he? I mean, that's what's sort of, or is he? So, you know, the UFC's got a couple of good fights here. That's a good fight. That's going to be UFC 251. It's going to go down, of course, from the from Dubai on July the 11th. That'll be part of a pay-per-view card. Am I telling you to buy a pay-per-view? Probably not in today's world. Money's tight. If you can find a way to watch it on the internet, watch it. Even if it's in Chinese or coming to you live from Istanbul, who cares? You saved $80. I'm not telling you to steal, but if you see it for free, watch it. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Mr. Dana White, wherever you are, I have a hit list. but I want to start getting paid. I want to start making heavyweight money.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long. Oh, super fly.
Mama said it's never bragging when you're telling the truth, but son, just don't be too honest. People don't like honesty all that much. Really? You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 36 plus years now. Your honest inside look in the world of combat sports, of course, rock and rolling, boxing. No big fight set per se. I mean, they're talking. Of course, Ryan Garcia, he wants to rock and roll, but he's a fan-orientated fighter. So, you know, you've got to put him in a place where he can make some money, you know, fill some arenas, right? Well, we're not filling arenas for a long time. That's what I'm trying to tell people. At the end of the day is I don't think boxing will be able to be a spectator sport until a vaccine or this virus has run its course. One or the other, and we don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon, because if you look at the 1918 flu, it came back in 1919 stronger than it was in 1918. So at the end of the day, we just don't know. It's a virus. But as far as mass events, you know, Dana White's going to do this Fight Island stuff. As far as fighting in Dubai is concerned, I don't know if the Fight Island is such a good idea. I wish Dana the best of luck there, and of course, we would like to see continued fights as far as the UFC is concerned. But as far as being a $4.2 billion pink elephant, that's what the UFC is. Whoever bought, the people that bought that Avatar, whoever bought that, man, they got duped. This is absolutely no way about it, no doubt about it. So the UFC rock and rolling tonight. Of course, that'll be on ESPN. There you have a couple of chicks in the main event. Pretty good fight, no doubt about that. I mean, you know, well, listen, you got to give props to female fighters because they realize they're carrying a burden every time they step into the ring or the octagon. They realize that people are watching them saying, you know, they're girls, they can't fight. Yeah, right. Yeah, well, you watch these girls tonight. Jessica I and Cynthia Covello, both these girls can rock and roll, no doubt about that. The main event, of course, the UFC on ESPN. You are tuned to Ring Talk. Live worldwide, of course, 35, make that 36 plus years. Now you're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. We come to you Saturdays and Sundays on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 211, of course, SB Nation Sports, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. Bottom line is, Ring Talk Live Worldwide also comes to you in podcast at anchor.com. At the end of the day, I thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Pedro Fernandez. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.